بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah. With the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah's fazal, Allah's karam, thus far we have established a few important points as far as our Islam is concerned. And the very first thing we mentioned is we should sit with the correct intention and resolve, firm determination, that we want the tazkiyah of our nafs to take place. The spiritual reformation of our heart, this ruh, we require to cleanse it, polish it, and remove from it all the spiritual maladies that come into it and clog it. So we mentioned a few times now that when we sit here, our minds should be focused on the fact that we are seeking Allah's fazal, Allah's pleasure, Allah's assistance in guiding us to our destination, because we are moving on a journey, and any person who moves on a journey requires a destination, and he needs to move on a path to reach his destination. So without a destination, a person can never reach his goal. If he's got no destination, then there's no journey for him. And if he has a destination, but he does not move on the right path, then too he can't reach his destination. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a destination, and we are moving on this journey, and we have examples of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba Ikram, Salafi Saliheen, and all of them have moved on this path and they reach their destination. So we too, Allah will give us the tawfiq and hidayat to reach our destination with ease, provided we listen carefully to the prescription that has been given to us by our mashayikh, ulama, sahaba ikram, and of course our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have the Quran, the hadith, the sunnah, and the aqwal, the marfuzat, the anecdotes, the mawa'iz of our pious predecessors. So first thing is we have our resolve, and when we listen and when we sit in a majlis of this nature, our hearts must be connected to what we are speaking about. Our mind must be connected, even though we are tired. A little bit of concentration, more than what we normally have. Sometimes in the bayan, we just doze off. Our mind is wandering over so many things. If a doctor, after diagnosing a patient, Allah give all of us good health, and all those who are sick, Allah give them complete shifa. But a person is undergoing some great pain, some difficulty, and finally he's diagnosed with whatever disease, and now he's sitting in front of the doctor, and the doctor is now explaining to him his problem. The person listens with full intent, full attention. Every word the doctor says, he listens very, very carefully. If it is anything he does not understand, he asks the doctor to repeat what he has said. So his full dhyan is there, because this is a prescription the doctor is giving him. Guidelines the doctor is giving him. If there's a diet plan for him, then he will listen carefully. He might make notes also. He might record the doctor so that he does not forget. We know mothers and sisters, if they had gone to some function and somebody made some very nice pudding or dessert or some cake or whatever it is, and they ask for the recipe, and the lady says, okay, I will phone and give you the recipe. And when she gives the recipe, every dot they take down properly. So listen with full attention. Why? Because they want to produce the thing that they're aspiring for, what they would like to make or bake. A student in school, if the teacher tells him, this is going to come out in the exams, and listen to the following tips I'm going to give you, he'll take out his pen very quickly, he'll write on every single thing, so he must not miss out on anything. The same thing for Islah. Islah is something extremely, extremely serious. And that is why we have to keep on making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, you help me. Ya Allah, you make my Islah. Ya Allah, hum kamzore. We are weak. Ya Allah, if you are not going to make my Islah, walawla fadlullahi alaykum wa rahmatu. Two things. Allah's fazl, Allah's grace, Allah's favor, and Allah's rahmat. Once we have this, then inshallah our tazkiyah will be made. Last week I mentioned something very important. We gave a simple example of having himmat, the courage. And I said every buzurg and every of our mashayikh all have mentioned this thing in tasawuf and tazkiyah, that a person has to have full himmat, ali himmat, a very high courage, resolution, determination to change his life, to refrain from all type of sins. The example is given of that ant after the person who tried to conquer Hindustan, and when he failed after several attempts, and when he sought refuge in a cave, and he was watching this ant climbing up the mountain, slipping down, climbing up, slipping down, and after several attempts it finally reached the top, and this gave him the himmat. It was an example for him, it was an ibrat for him, that gave him the determination. The same thing, we must have the determination and never give up hope to refrain from sins. No matter how difficult it may be. Oh, mashayikh say, jaan bhi chali jai. Your life can go away. Still, you won't make Allah Ta'ala naraz. So, inshallah, this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not difficult, it is easy. Oh, mashayikh say, not only sahal, but mazidar. You'll enjoy every station on this path. Yes, again, I will say there will be obstacles, there will be some impediments, there will be some difficulties. But these difficulties, once a person is connected to Allah, he's got his destination, he's got his roadmap, and he's moving on this path correctly, then he'll be able to overcome this with joy, not with pain. He'll overcome this with ease. And even though it may be outwardly some type of pain, but inside his heart, he will have contentment, he'll have serenity, peace. So outward pain he may suffer, but we ask him his condition, he is happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we require to get, inshallah. So tonight we will discuss again, as I mentioned last week, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah has mentioned Islah, that reformation without any mashaqqat, without any pain and struggle, is not possible. So any person wants his Islah to take place, he cannot just sit back and expect some ta'weez to come his way, or some wazifa, or some dua, and his Islah takes place. And occasionally he'll just sit for some Islah program. No. A person has to follow a rigid program. And it's not going to be difficult. We don't take much time. It's not a lengthy bayan. Listen carefully, inshallah. If you haven't understood any point, you can ask again. Listen to the recording. Again and again, all of us, every single one of us, the speaker especially, and the listeners, we need to remind ourselves all the time about tazkiyah of the nafs, tazkiyah of the nafs. Nafs is so cunning and so shrewd, and is why I mentioned, a person requires to know the tricks of the nafs. On our own is difficult, and therefore we require a guide, a mentor, who is able to detect our problem. And he can make out, this is the bimari in this person. We do not understand sometimes that I'm suffering from pride, or arrogance, or hasad, or malice. There was a Nawab Saab in India. A Nawab was a very prominent person, respected by the community. Most of them were very affluent. So there was a Nawab who had come all the way to meet Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayhi to take bay'ah to him. But as he came, he had his servant with him, and he thought, I'm coming to meet a great buzurg, so let me bring some hadiah for him. So he made his servant carry a whole tray of mitai, sweetmeats. So the servant is carrying this thing from so far on his head, this tray of sweetmeats. And this Nawab Sahib is walking in front. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali took a glance at him, detected something in him, some weakness in him. Person came, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, Hazrat, mujhe aapse bayat karni hai. I want to take bayat to you. Hazrat Thani said, no problem, inshallah. Abhi main kuch masroof ho, I got some, I'm a bit busy. Inshallah, I will see to you. By the way, this servant who has come, this khadim, unko wapas kar do, send him back. There's no use him sitting here. And you keep this, whatever, tray by you. So the person, servant goes away. After some time, Hazrat Thani Ramadhan says, I got to go to a certain place, mujhe wahan kuch kaam hai. Aap saath, mere saath aaja. You come with me. Now there's no servant who carry the mithai and tray of mithai. This Nawab Sahab, very high person, he has to carry the mithai on his own head, the whole tray, and he's following Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali goes to that place, does his work, he says, bhai, maaf kijiye. Is waqt bhi mujhe fursat nahi mili hai. I didn't have the time, opportunity to give you bayat. Hum, mujhe wahan bhi jana hai, to aap bhi saath aaye. So, he goes to another place. And each time Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali goes through the bazaar, the marketplace. Normally he wouldn't go past that way. Now everybody, all the people who know the Nawab Sahib are watching. The Nawab Sahib is carrying a big tray of mithai today and he's walking behind Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. After they finish everything, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali then comes, then gives him bayat and then tells him the reason why he did all this. He said, I saw in you the disease of pride. And I could have given you various type of spiritual exercises and wazaif and so many things. It would have taken many years for you, this pride to come out of your heart. Ab do ghante mein, just in 2 hours, I have sorted you out, alhamdulillah. Because by the time he finished everything, as he's going from one place to another place, and he's feeling so embarrassed, his nafs was feeling that pain. But the important point here is, he didn't give up. You and I in this condition, somebody makes us do that. I'm a professional person. I'm a Maulana, I'm a Mufti. What are you making me do all this? This person is crazy. In this day and age, he's making me do all these things. I'd rather find somebody else. So, our Islam will never take place. Yeah, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah was Hakim al-Ummat. And within minutes or few hours, just traveling here and there, but this person was cured of that pride and kibar. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi, very great alim, extremely great. Now, mashayikh ulama understand the kitabs, you find his name coming. His understanding of hadith, and he has written so many commentaries on hadith kitab, big hadith kitabs. So Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi had gone to see Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi. And there was some nikah taking place there, so he thought one time he'll meet Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi, a very pious person. He didn't go with the intention of taking bayat or becoming murid or sitting in his khanka or anything. In fact, some of them mentioned that he was going to have a debate with Maulana Muhammad Rahmatullah, who was another very great person, on some masala, fiqhi masala. They were going to have a debate. So Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi asked him, Bhai Rashid Ahmad, kahan ja rahe ho? He said, Maulana Muhammad ke saath munazara karna hai. He said, yaar, beta, mere paas ruk ja, stay with me. And he remained with Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali for a period of 40 days. He had no intention to spend one chilla there. 40 days he spent in the company of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. And Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali is that great buzurg in our silsila of tasawuf. For example, we had taken bayat to Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was bayat to Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Khalifa of Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Haji Imdadullah is his sheikh. So many of the silsila reach Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. So in that 40 days, what tarbiyat, what islah was done is unbelievable. In the end, when Haji Sahib is sending Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah, bidding him farewell, he says, Rashid Ahmad, jo mere paas tha, maine sab aapko de diya. Whatever I had, I passed it on to you. But before that, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah is sitting on the Dasar Khan. There was Hafiz Zamin Shaheed, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was Haji Imdadullah Rahman's peer bhai. I mean, both of them were bayah to the same Sheikh, Mi Haji Noor Muhammad Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So now both of them, they were friends, betakalluf, they could talk to one another jokingly also. They're sitting on the Dastar Khan, there's food there, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi has got food, Hafiz Zamin Shaheed, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi is sitting there, but Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi not asking him to join them in the meals. He takes one piece of bread, some gosht, he says, Rashid Ahmad, lo, and just pushes it onto his palm, on his hand. Hafiz Zamin Shaheed says, Hazrat, ye ta aapka murid hai, make his ikram, let him eat nicely. So Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi said, are ye? This person, I must give him nice food and make him sit with us. He doesn't even deserve this, what I gave him to eat now, even the small morsel of food. But this was the test. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah was watching the face, the reaction of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah. To see, is he frowning? Becoming angry? Becoming upset? Has this 40 days islah and period of tazkiyah, has it had any benefit in his life or not? Or is he signs of arrogance and pride? How can he treat me like this, one of every person? Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah did not even frown. In fact, he smiled. Hazrat, from your hands, you gave me this. I'm so happy you gave me this even. This made him pass the test. And he got khilafat from Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah. Mashayikh say today, so difficult to tell the murid anything. The Shaykh has to think, what must I tell him? If I tell him like this, he might get upset, he might get angry. He'll feel bad. Sometimes the murid reprimands the Shaykh. Things have turned the other way around. So we haven't made Islah our maqsad. Allah is not our maqsud. Sometimes people take bayat to a Shaykh because he's gained some prominence in amongst the people. So if I'm joined with him, I'll also become prominent. Sometimes, mashallah, the Shaykh gets a lot of dawat, so I'll also cash in with the chows. You see, our maqsad is not right. Our intention, the aim, the purpose has to be really to make Islah of ourselves. So like this, there are so many other examples of how people, the mashayikh, made Islah of the murideen, and especially things like pride, ujab, vanity, they remove this. And the Thani Ramadan used different type of remedies, of course all within Sharia. One murid, in fact, it was Dr. Tanveer Ahmad, Rahmatullahi, who used to come here to South Africa. Very great buzurg, he passed on. He himself told in one of the majlises that when he had taken bayat to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi made him clean the toilets of the masjid. That was his job. Now imagine, you came to take bayat, now he has to go clean the toilets. At that time in India, it must have been great difficulty for him. After some days, he's okay. Then now he told him to clean the wuzu khana, not like a wuzu khana or tiles. You see mucus there and dirt there. And so he had to clean the wuzu khana. After some time, then Hazrat Thani Rahman told him, okay, now put the shoes of the musallis when you come to the masjid, you stand by the door, put everybody's shoes straight, make it correct. After all this, see what happens? The ujab comes out, the pride comes out, fana'iyat takes place. Now the person has got tawazu in him, humility. Now he's going to make spiritual progress. Now it'll be easy for the Shaykh to command him and guide him. And very easily he'll accept. Because the root problem is now eradicated. One murid of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali had pride. So Hazrat adopted the similar thing. Told him to wash the toilets, didn't work. Wuzu khana didn't work. Why didn't work? Because each time he's doing this menial job, his nafs is telling him, mashallah, you got so much of humility. You actually cleaning these toilets. And so you got so much of taqwa in you. So the pride is not coming out. In fact, it is getting more and more. Finally, Hazrat Thani Rahman told him, okay, what you do now is after every fard salah, you stand up after the namaz and make elan. How we have elan, gajdi. So you make elan, respected brothers, bhaiyo, mere andar, kibar ki bimari hai. I've got pride in me. Make dua to Allah, Allah removes this pride from me. After 3-4 namazes, that thing was finished. Imagine, he had to stand up and say this. So in this way, Allah Ta'ala made it easy for these people because they were sincere when they took bayat. Again, bayat has become rasmi. It's just like a ritual, a custom, a practice. It has great fawaid if and benefit if we are serious. And once a person is serious, then within days he'll find spiritual progress. The Shaykh will make dua, Shaykh will guide him. He'll go through some difficulty. And inshallah, what's happening all the time, all these sicknesses are now coming out and out of his heart. Important thing to accept wholeheartedly. Not to dictate what you would like. Something is said to you, there is a prescription, but it's difficult for you, so that you discard. But things which are easy, then those things you very easily accept. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. In many a time we find that Murideen, the only thing they know is to praise the Shaykh. Hazrat, aapka bayan, mashallah, bahut behtar tha. So why he does this? So that he may be in the good books of the Shaykh now. Again, your niyat is wrong. So maybe the Shaykh will be happy with you, but Allah is not going to be happy with you if you still got the sicknesses in your heart. But if you are genuine, then Allah will put your love in the heart of your Shaykh. Allah will put your love in the hearts of people. Why? Because now you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Islah does not take place overnight. I mentioned this a few times already. It's a gradual process. There is progress all the time. This morning I was mentioning, it's drop by drop, drop by drop. We have a huge rock, and the first drop of rain or water hits the rock. There's no hole that comes into the rock. Then a second drop, a third drop, a fourth, fifth, sixth, until so many drops come, and the final drop comes, and suddenly we see there's a crevice of the hole. It's not because of the last drop. Just as the last drop caused a hole, it was an accumulation of all the drops right from the first drop. So the first drop also plays an important point. There's always a beginning. A child is growing. 1 day old, 2 days old, 3 days, then 1 month, 2 months, then 5 months, 6 months. The parents are with the child all the time. We don't see the child daily growing so many millimeters. We don't see that happening. Suddenly we say, he's gone so big. She's gone so big. I need to buy some other clothes because already she's outgrown these clothes. Just like that, when we continue and make our islah, drop by drop. I told one of our friends, doctor, how we have a drip. It's drip by drip, drip by drip, until the drip goes into the body. It's not the last drip that cures the person. It's right from the first drip. So inshallah, if our first drop and first drip is correct, inshallah, then Allah Ta'ala will make our islah with ease, inshallah. Generally, a person, when he hears some islahi bayan, islahi talk, whatever it is, and he makes an intention, I want to change my life, which is excellent. This is the first thing that happens. If I was not reading namaz, now I want to read my namaz. I wasn't giving zakat, I must give my zakat. Excellent. I never made hajj. Hajj is farz on me. I want to perform my hajj. My rozas, I was a bit lazy. Now I'm going to make sure I read my rozas. This is the first, this is the basis, this is the foundation, which is excellent, excellent, excellent. This is the starting point. Sometimes the person will continue. So he'll make all his effort on ibadat now. Why? Because he wants to see the change in his life. And previously, he never used to read namaz even. Maybe Jumu'ah, or maybe now and then occasionally. Now he's developed that fervor and fikr to read his 5 time namaz. Previously he was reading at home, now he's reading the masjid. Then he progresses on his ibadah. He tries for first saf, excellent. Then he's starting reading Quran Sharif before he should read once in a year. Now he's reading every day at least 1 page. Then he increases to quarter para, then half para. Zikr he never made in his life. Now he starts making zikrullah. All this is excellent. His rozas he will develop. And he'll keep now even 3 days a month, every month. He starts keeping Monday and Thursday, which is excellent. There's no doubt about it. He'll go for Hajj, he'll sit for Itikaf. All these ibadat he'll bring into his life, which is more than excellent. However, this is the important point. Shaitan is so cunning, he's so shrewd. He will deceive this person, dupe this person, beguile him, and make him feel that the whole deen has come into your life now. And ibadat is the only thing important. So he'll even change his outfit. He'll grow, he'll put a turban, he'll wear kurta, he'll have a grow a beard, which is excellent. But his whole focus is only on ibadah. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. He'll do all these things. He'll give some sadaqah. But when it comes to mu'amalat and mu'asharat, then you find the person is extremely weak. His mind doesn't go into those things. Causing any pain to any person, giving taklif to some person, doesn't bother him. In Islam, there are a few branches. Aqaid is the first and most important thing, that our iman must be correct. Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our belief system, in akhirat, in Rasulullah s.a.w., the Anbiya alayhi s.a.w., the divine scriptures, taqdeer, iman mufassal, iman mujmal. So aqaid. But where is this aqaid? Aqaid is inside the heart. Any person walking in the road, can you see what's his aqidah? Can a non-Muslim see your aqidah in your heart? They cannot see it. It's to do with the heart. It's something which is hidden. Ibadah, also it is concentrated in certain places, masjid, the non-Muslim not seeing the masjid. So he's not affected by your aqidah. Neither is he influenced by your ibadah. Yes, sometimes when they see you outside or you associating with some non-Muslim, but this a handful, and that too they don't understand the reasoning behind your salah, your zakat, your hajj, your postures. What is he doing? He's going in ruku and in sajda, he's bowing down. They don't understand this. What they do get influenced with and affected by is a person's good akhlaq. So you got to have aqidah, you got to make ibadah, but just as important is our husn akhlaq, having good character, how we deal with people. Our mu'ashara, our social conduct at home, in the business, on the street, in public, in privacy, in the masjid, out of the masjid, university, in college, in our practices, in our madrasas, every single place. Mu'amalat, our dealings with people. And this is one section that unfortunately we are failing miserably. Person, see, he's got a turban, he's got kurta, he's got such a big beard. He's supposed to be a learned scholar. But look how his dealings are. He deceived me. He cheated me. He lied to me. This morning, person told me about one professional. I'm not going to mention the fraternity. But they said, it is so sad. The person is so sad to see people, Muslims, behaving in this way with the people who they're interacting with. I can't understand how they have the heart to do these things. It is so sad. How are we going to affect the non-Muslim? How are we going to attract them towards Islam? Because the only thing they are seeing is our outward, that this man is supposed to be a holy person, he's supposed to be a God-fearing person, but this is how he behaved. And therefore these Islahi majalis is not only to concentrate on certain aspects, is to bring in myself and all of us husnul khuluq, good character, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, everything. And not to give taklif to any person. Somebody mentioned haqiqat of tasawuf. What is the reality? What is tasawuf? Kisi ko taklif na dijiye. Kisi ko taklif na dijiye. Don't give any person any type of taklif. If you can get this in our life, they don't cause harm to any person. In the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w., imagine if people are sitting for salah, especially in Jumu'ah, and somebody comes in late. Now, instead of sitting where he finds a place in the back, he goes over the shoulders of people, and it's very irritating. You can hurt some person. There may be an elderly person. You're putting all your weight over him. In the hadith, grave warnings have been given to such a person. If I'm not mistaken, he is now building his bridge towards Jahannam when he does that. And therefore, Sharia tells us, adab, fill in the first saf. Then the second and third saf. So you don't have to make somebody go over your shoulders and come to the front. Simple thing like parking. Allah knows best when we will actually learn the simple etiquette of parking. Hazrat Mawlana Abrar Haq rahmatullahi from Haridwai, he had come once to our country and he visited one place. And it was a Sunday, so obviously people were following him, Murideen and people and ulama and whoever was following him. So they went somewhere to visit, and when he came out, he saw the cars parked very haphazardly, and he saw the parking bay, so he asked, "Ye kya hai?" Oh, somebody told him, "Hazrat, lakir hai, it's line." He said, "Main janta hu lakir hai. I know it's line. Lekin what's the purpose of this?" "Hazrat, to park the car in there." "So what have you all done?" He made everybody go back into their cars and the vehicles and park the cars correctly. Simple thing as that. So whether it's masjid or at home or with our neighbors, imagine, I mentioned this previously, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi had a Jewish neighbor. And when the Jew was selling his house, he doubled the price. What was the price, the market price, the going rate that time was maybe 400 dinars. But he's charging 800 dinars. Somebody asked him why. He said 400 is for the house and other 400 to be the neighbor of a person like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Because this man never troubles us. Can we say the same thing for us? So Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. When we sit, inshallah, all these things, as I said, we cannot change overnight. But make the firm intention that, Ya Allah, I need to polish my akhlaq, to better my akhlaq, better my dealings, my mu'ashara, how I talk to my parents, my wife, my children, my friends, my customers, my clients, the manner in which we drive our cars. We are late for salah. Who sees salah is not important. But because we are late for salah, now we will drive recklessly on the road. And people are on the road before us, we want to overtake them and we'll hoot at them. They are maybe non-Muslim, they don't know you are rushing for salah. They don't know the importance of your salah and not to miss jama'ah. You should have made arrangements yourself and come early to the masjid, not last minute. And causing takleef to every other person. How often in a Jumu'ah or some big night program, we find we park in neighbors or people's driveways without their permission. And how often we found it was a non-Muslim. And it so happens they need to go. It is an emergency. Now we are busy and the masjid is full. Taraweeh may be taking place. And there's nobody who can come and mention that this car is blocking. See how much of takleef we have given. When you go visit a sick person, how many a doctor has told me, "Manana, please speak about this." And we have spoken about it. We don't bother with these visiting hours or not visiting hours. If it's not those who have come with me, alhamdulillah, not bragging, but whenever we went and we were told to come to us, come see a sick person a certain time, it was not visiting hours, we took permission. And always I say, we just need 1 minute. And believe me, before the minute is over, we're back and we thank the person. So they realize we're not taking advantage. Otherwise, they say, "Oh, you people came again." Sometimes it is visiting hours. But the doctor is busy. They're doing some tests on the patient. So you can't say, "No, it's visiting hours." And when you visit a person in ICU, for example, there are only two visitors per patient. Now we'll take every person, our friends and whoever we want to take with us. And we barge in there and we make a noise and we say, no, we have to see. This is against Sharia. Get the fatwa from any mufti of the world and see if anybody will say it's permissible to do what we are doing. All this is part of Islam. In our businesses, in our business practices, the dealings, the manner in which we speak to our customers, the goods that we show them, all these things have an impact on our Islam. So mashallah, we are making ibadah, we have the aqeedah, but we have to concentrate on our mu'ashara, husnul akhlaq. We go to the toilet, for example. It's a masjid toilet. I mentioned the other day in the aeroplane. Again, not to brag or to show how pious, in inverted commas, we may be. But a simple thing, when you go to the toilet, leave it in a better condition than you saw it. You'll find the non-Muslim, they have in the toilets, "Please leave the toilet clean." They learn this from the Muslims. Hazrat Shah Anwar Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, another giant, unbelievable, remarkable. His memory was phenomenal. One of our akabir of Dioban, when he used to visit, go to the toilet, and relieve himself. After relieving himself, he was elderly also, he would clean the whole toilet so that the next person who comes in doesn't feel in nafrat and difficulty to relieve himself. People are traveling for Umrah. It's all Muslims in that flight. Yet within an hour you see the condition of the toilet. It's difficult to even use the toilet. Now imagine if non-Muslims are with us. What will they say? How often on the aeroplane, whatever it is, maybe there's an error on the part of the steward or the flight, whatever it is, the flight attendant, but we have seen people raging and making a noise and screaming, you're going for Umrah, and you're behaving in that manner. Where is the akhlaq? Our Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullahi emphasizes his whole life. That is why I tell all our friends, what did you learn from Hazrat Rahmatullahi? Very easy to say, I was Hazrat's murid and I was Hazrat's family and I was Hazrat this and this and I had spent so much of time with him. Ask ourselves, all the time we learned and we are proud to be musallis of this masjid and I'm a family member, I'm a son-in-law of Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi, but what have I done to the lessons that he taught us? Simple example, I think I gave this before. The family had asked to have a bride, and Hazrat Mawlana had a bride, but as he's having the bride, he suddenly quickly finished it off, and he said, this is first and last. So they asked him, why? He said, because we don't have enough meat now to give to the neighbors, and they're getting the aroma. How will they feel? What if somebody there didn't have food? Imagine the taklif that person will get. You see where their minds go. Allah guides the person when he becomes Allah wala. Oh, akabir, dioban, you know what they used to do, some of them? If you had mangoes, for example. Mangoes very ripe there. So, they won't put all the kernels and all the peels and all in one place. Imagine the khadim who comes in the morning and he sees, oh, these people had a nice party last night. So much of mangoes. And there was nothing left for me. Our Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi, whenever fruit would come, he'll first take out some fruit, put it in a packet, and give it for the servant the next day. We have pizzas. So I always say those boxes are big. Fold those boxes. Don't just stack them on the bin. You had a nice hearty meal, and the poor servant or the maid or domestic worker would come in the morning. Obviously she's a human being, or he is a human being. He'll say, hey, these people have so much of pizzas. Yes, if you kept one box for him, you'll lose nothing. You'll never become poor. You'll become more rich. We go for Umrah. I have seen how many people. Allah forgive me, forgive us. We get to Mubarak place. You spend money to reach there. Allah has given you. But you are bargaining and bargaining and bargaining with the taxi driver. He's from Madinah Munawwara. Think that you are giving some benefit to a resident of Madinah Munawwara. Allah will give you barakah. You don't want to take it, don't take it. Find some, but don't bargain and squeeze a person's throat. These are all simple things. Mu'amalat, mu'asharat. Inshallah we'll continue. Time is already expired. But this is an important thing, inshallah. All of us, myself included, we make big mistakes. Don't wait to pounce on some person and pick on his faults. What we want today, koi bhi hame takleef na de. Nobody must give me takleef. But what about me giving takleef to somebody else? This is our lesson today, inshallah. That this is the haqiqat of tasawuf. Kisi ko takleef na dijiye. Don't give takleef of any kind. Whether it is by our noise or shouting or our dealings, our social conduct, whatever it may be. Don't give takleef to any person. Then inshallah, you will find deen coming in our lives and deen will spread in this way. Like how those people went, Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in, went to China. And just on the business deal, the manner in which they dealt so honestly with such kindness and politeness, it made those people attracted to Islam and they embraced Islam. Without these people giving da'wah towards Islam, just on the manner in which they dealt. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.